Well, very good evening, everyone. We're just going to start a bit sooner so that we don't actually delay a bit of time because we do have the Lord's Supper as well. Okay. What we're going to do today, we're going to bring up children in the family. Okay. For those who have joined us for the first time, we are actually going through a series on how to bring up children in the family, but everything about the family as much as we can. Yeah. Some of the other things that we'll be doing is after the children one, we're going to think about looking at how to bring up teenagers in the family, and when there's conflict, what do we do, and what is the source of conflict, and how do we deal with that, okay? And then we talk about how the family and the church, as far as God is concerned, how we need to be in sync, okay? Many people believe today, the family is on a higher priority versus the church. The Bible says no, okay? And we need to find that balance whereby we can actually be in line with God's will, okay? So today, what we're going to do is by reason of the scope, okay? We're just going to be, we'll review very quickly what we did last week, okay? I went through the whole session about an hour dealing with three biblical concepts. And then today, I want to talk about our perception of children. And we're going to be talking about biblical approach to child training and the conclusion, right? I know last week I did say that we're going to go a little bit into the development of the children, but what I'm thinking of is I want to think through a little bit more how to actually present it so that we can understand. Because there's a little bit of work done in the world, in terms of research, that some Christians have actually looked at the spiritual development of children, all right, and plainly by observation, how from 0 to 2 years old, what kind of spiritual concepts they can grasp, and then from 3 to 5, what kind of concepts they can grasp, and then from 6 to 9, what kind of concepts they can grasp, and then from 9 to 12, and then from 13 onwards. There's also a research that was done on how faith develops throughout the lifespan. Okay, one of the biggest things which I'm just trying to think through, because one of the biggest things as I was reading some of the research on spiritual development is the researchers said, if these are Christians who are concerned, okay, for spiritual development of people, and teenagers listen to this, and fathers and parents listen to this, the research has shown, or rather this is what is being observed, people tend, once at the age of about 15 years old, once they have set their belief system, it will take them to the rest of their lives. Okay? Once they have set, generally they say in the research, they say that once a person have more or less confirmed what they want to believe, about 15 years old, they generally have already confirmed what they would believe for the rest of their lives. Okay, and that is I won't say a warning bell, but there is actually a big flag for the children and the youth ministry. Okay, and one of the things I will share at the end of the message before the Lord's Supper is my heart about what we need to do as a church. And with this kind of thinking that has already been studied through, we want to look at how the children's ministry need to grow and what kind of things they need to target at in terms of teaching. We also need to look at how the chapel teachers teach their children. Alright? Because as much as, for your information, chapel is not babysitting. It's a time that we teach children Bible principles. Okay? Simple ones that they can understand. Okay? So it's not babysitting. Alright? It's actually teaching. So as our next week, we'll go through a little bit of the development, and also practically we'll be dealing with behavior. Alright? Children's behavior, and why they behave the way they do. And today I do a little bit more theoretical stuff, like biblical teaching, and then next week we go a little bit into the practice, alright? If there is any questions throughout, please stop me, alright? Please say, Pastor, I don't understand why my child like that, or why so-and-so behave like that, or why I behave like that, alright? And so just ask questions, okay? Alright, right now we just review very quickly last week's lesson. The principle of responsibility, we made it very clear. It is from the Bible, alright, for youth and teenagers, listen also, for children also listen, okay, Ruth also listen. Just kidding. Alright, I'll just read this. In Psalm 78 verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. In Psalm 78 verse 5, the psalmist David was very clear, there is a principle of responsibility that rests squarely on the fathers, okay, to teach their and train up their children, okay. Then in Ephesians 6 verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Didn't say mothers. Some people will challenge that and say, well, the word fathers also in the Greek means parents. Right? And it does. But consistent with the entire scripture, and I believe that what they did was they put the head of the house to be responsible, and that's consistent with the Bible teaching. Alright? So there's a principle of responsibility, we talked about last week, for bringing up children. Okay? Then, we also look at, this is the next one. Fathers, we will ultimately be, responsible for our families in teaching them to be obedient to God. Okay? So fathers, we are responsible. But then you may say, Brother Johnny, my husband doesn't really care about spiritual things. Let mothers, you take over. You have to take over. That's what the Bible teach. Okay? Eunice and Lois, the father was a Greek, wasn't a Christian, but because of Lois and Eunice's, the grandmother and the mother's influence, Timothy grew up to become a Christian and became a pastor to serve the Lord. Okay? So it is possible, but we need to depend on the Lord. Okay? Secondly, the principle of authority. This is very important. Okay? Today, authority has been thrown out. People don't believe in authority anymore. Because why? I just want to do what I want. But let's read a few verses. Genesis 18 verse 19. God talking about Abraham. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice in judgment. God was going to reveal to Abraham that he was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? And so God was debating in his mind, should I tell Abraham or not? And then God finally decided, yes, I will tell him. Why? Because Abraham was a faithful man who will command. He didn't just teach, you know. The word command there has the idea of military command. In other words, there's a commanding officer telling the family, and this is what you need to do. And so God says, Abraham, I can trust him to tell him the secret of what I'm going to do, because Abraham has shown himself faithful as a father. And can I say this, if you ever know anything about how Abraham controlled his family, he didn't just control his wife and his children. He controlled the entire household, all his trained servants, remember? Remember Lot? Okay, for those in your Bible knowledge, Lot was actually captured. Alright, and then Abraham, once he realized Lot was captured, told his 318 servants whom he has trained in his household, let's go and rescue my... What is the relationship between Lot and Abraham? Sorry, it's a nephew, right? Do you know in the Bible, in Genesis 17, do you know what Abraham called Lot? Let's go and rescue my brother. You know, in common relationship, he's just a relative, a nephew. But when Lot is in trouble, he becomes a brother. Okay? That shows how Abraham really cared, not just for his own family, but for the household. Okay? So Abraham had authority over his household. This is an interesting thing. In Leviticus 19 verse 3, God says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. I like this. Okay? The Bible says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths, I am the Lord your God. You know what God is saying there? The word father and mother, if you oftentimes look in the scriptures, the Bible always says, honor your father and your mother. Father always comes first, right? And so many times people have said, well, our father is head of house, our children, we don't have to listen to mom. That's not true. And I believe that God maybe for the first time in the Bible, the only time in the Bible, put the word mother first. And that is to perhaps to show us, mother has as much authority as the father in the household. When father's around, father's head. But when father is not around, mom has the authority. As far as God is concerned. Because the Bible says, ye shall fear. In other words, you and your mom. Alright, you are supposed to fear your mom. When dad's not around, you're supposed to fear your mom. In other words, mom says one, you have to say one. Alright, because that's the authority that God has given. Okay? In Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. What's a hoary head? A hoary head is someone who is older, someone who has kind of like myself, got a lot of white hair kind of thing. A hoary head, okay? Not bota head, different. That's different. Hoary means an old, representing respect for the older generation, the elderly. You know what God says? Children, are you listening? Teenagers, God says you are to honor those who are older. That's what He says in the Levitical law. In fact, in 1 Peter also said that we are to do, if let's say an elder person has some problems, you know, and you're younger, you are not to rebuke him, you are to entreat him as an elder. You are to actually say, uncle, you're not supposed to say, "Oi, uncle, you sit down." You're not supposed to say that. You say, "Uncle, sorry, is it okay if you sit down? Please, really. And you're supposed to entreat the elder, not to scold the person. Why? Because there is a principle of respect in the Bible. And children, can I say this? Don't you dare, I'm saying it as pastor, don't you dare disrespect your mom or your dad. Because the moment you do that, you sin against God. God gave parents the authority to train up the children, and if the children don't obey their parents or disrespect their mother, God says, "You disobey me, and I will have it out with you." Okay? And that's very important. Parents, on the other hand, don't look at your children and say, "You are." Alright? Don't, on the other hand, abuse that power, or don't, on the other hand, don't even use that power. Now, one of the saddest things in modern day Christianity, parents don't realize they have authority to train up their children. You know what that means? In other words, when mom says sit down, children, you have to sit down. That's what God says. Okay? And you know why? Because if children, you don't obey your mom, you will never learn what it means to obey God next time. If you cannot obey someone who is taller than you now, okay? I think even the mothers are taller than you, children. How are you supposed to obey someone who is much higher than your mom? Okay? So, please understand this. There's two principles. The principle of responsibility. Fathers, we are responsible for our household to train our children. Not just when they are young, but also when they are teenager and they are young adults in the home. And the principle of authority, whereby parents, we are given authority by God to train up our children. And by the way, for those who may understand this phrase, that authority, children, are non-negotiable. You don't bargain with your parents. When parents say certain things, we are to follow. Of course, there's a place that I think we'll talk about it next week, about communication, okay? It's very important to communicate. But however, if dad or mom makes a decision, that's a decision, and we are to follow it cheerfully, according to the rule of God. All right, children, amen? All right. That's very important, Okay, if you don't remember anything today, just remember this. Mom is in charge of me. Dad is in charge of me. If I don't obey them, I disobey God. Full stop. Understand? That's what the Bible teach. Okay? You know what happens to children in the Old Testament? If they don't obey their parents? Children, children, do you know what happens to children when they don't obey God in the Old Testament? What happens to them? What happens to them? Huh? How do they stone them to death? Alright, stone to death is something, the process is even scarier, right? What they do is they will bring the children to the leaders, and the leaders will determine, okay, now the children are disobedient, they are guilty, and what the leaders will do, they will dig a big hole, they put this guy inside, and they find the biggest rock they can find and throw it on the person, until he die. And stoning means, when the person is like half dead, they'll find the biggest rock and they drop it on his head to finish him off. That is stoning, okay, in the Jewish law. And you never find in the Bible any child stoned to death. You know why? Because the Bible says all Israel will hear and fear. If today we have that, I don't think we have any problems in school, amen? You would just have this in... anyone who disobeys the teacher will be brought up and shot. I think they will have problems. Well, I don't think it's an... Okay, let's move on. The principle of authority there. Feel free to stop me, alright? So the principle of authority, the father and mother has been given designated authority of the house and therefore authority within the family to carry out the bring out of children. Both the father has the authority to command, to instruct, to discipline those within the household. This is God-ordained authority. And it's non-negotiable as far as God is concerned. Okay? let's go on the review. What is child training? This is what we did last week. Child training is the shaping, developing, and the controlling of a child's personal faculties and powers so that they will think, speak, and act in a way consistent with the Word of God and to live to the glory of God. Alright? So which means that we are not parents just to tell, oh, children, don't do that. We are to say, children, you better don't do that, otherwise you go inside the room. Okay? What is the difference between teaching and training? Teaching is, this was last week we talked about, teaching is to give knowledge to the child that is beyond himself. For example, a young child, maybe you teach Ezra, okay? Ezra, last week we had a good time with Ezra. And so we will ask Ezra, Ezra, maybe as a young child when he grew up, he doesn't know about Noah. Okay, so Gogo Chai Heng or Sister Felicia teaches him about Noah. So that's giving him a knowledge that he has never known. Okay? But training is different. Should I mention that name? Sorry. Okay, so last week we talked about the fact, okay, all the children, you brush your teeth, right? Right? Okay, youth, you brush your teeth, right? Alright? No? Okay, some youth doesn't brush their teeth. Okay, but children generally, you brush your teeth, right? Okay, so you know, right? Some children will brush teeth, and some children will put the toothpaste inside their mouth, bite a bit, and then take out, right? Is that the proper way of brushing? No, okay? Because otherwise your teeth, even though you brush your teeth, you still get tooth decay, which means you're not doing it right. So training is, mom will actually say, okay, come, I go into the bathroom with you. I will take the toothpaste and toothbrush. No, toothbrush and toothpaste. And I put it on. Okay, now, open your teeth. Not open your teeth. Open your mouth. Okay, I'm going to hold your hand and brush it. Now, up and down. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. Okay, no. You brush a bit harder. No one. Then after a while, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, okay, now the child can do it himself. That's training. Okay? That's training. That's the difference between training and teaching. Okay? Training is the shaping, the developing, and the controlling of a child's personal faculties and powers. Okay? So the difference in a little bit more detail. Okay, teaching, you get the child to know, but in training, you cause them to do. Okay? In teaching, you give knowledge. In training, you give the skill. Many times, you say, oh, you need to read your Bible. Yes? That's teaching. But in Sunday Bible, what are we doing? We are training. At the end of Sunday Bible hour, hopefully in the next 3 to 4, next 1 or 2 more weeks, we've got, remember we go through and then we actually do it in the class here in Sunday Bible hour. You actually, at the end, some of it, wow, thank God that I'm finally, you know, someone taught me how to do my quiet time. Okay? That's giving a skill. Okay? I intend to do a lot more this year because I think a lot of Christians just assume, we just assume Christians are doing it when many Christians are not. Okay, for example, family altar, also we touched on it. I hope people are beginning to see the seriousness of it. We cannot do family altar once a week or don't do it all. Family altar is a time whereby as a family we worship the Lord together. Okay, teaching is fills the mind. Training shapes the habits of life. Shapes the habits and the life. Okay, example, teaching is you must get up at 8 a.m. Don't waste time. Okay, but the children wakes up at 11 a.m. Okay, so what I do in training is to shape the habit. Okay, night before I say you gotta wake up at 8 a.m. I'm gonna put the alarm clock away from you. Okay, never put the alarm clock beside you. Amen. Okay, try not to buy alarm clock with a snooze button. Okay, and don't set it to 5 minutes, 10 minutes later. Okay, put it far away from you and make it. I had one. there was one alarm clock I heard when I was in Taiwan. Okay, in training, that goes like this: when the time comes, they say, "Wake up!" Okay, it just goes and screams at you and it keeps shouting, "Wake up! Wake up!" You know, all right. When I was so, maybe the first night, say, "Oh yeah," and after the second time and the third time and the fourth time, then you begin, okay, 8 a.m. I thank God my children have, even without me waking them up, some of them, okay, one of them is actually waking up sharp at 7:30 to do what he's supposed to do. Okay, he shapes the habits. Teaching, you bring to the child what he did not have before, but in training, you enable the child to make use of what he has already. Does that make sense? Okay, so there's a difference between training and teaching. Okay, any questions? So today we're going to move on, alright? We're going to move on just to two things. How we should perceive our children. Okay, and what does the Bible say? And then the second one is, what are the biblical principles for training? Next week we'll go into details. I'm just trying to think, there's just 1,000 things that we can do. I'm trying to compress it concisely, maybe in next week, and how we can actually practically go forward. If you have any suggestion, if you find that whatever is important to you, some parents have said, we want to know how to deal with our children's behaviors and all that. So that's one area I'll deal with next week. But if there are other things, please let me know, okay? So, maybe we have some participation, okay? I know I'm talking a lot. When you think of children, what do you think of? Maybe on this side. This side. 当你想一个孩子的时候呢，你是怎么样想他们的？ We decide. Okay, when you think of a child, what do you think? What do you think? Anyone? Just when you think of children, what do you think? Innocent. Okay, what else? Innocent, what else? Huh? Play. You think of child's play. Okay, good. Okay, what else? Anyone else? Sorry? A gift from God, okay, good. Okay, what about this side? When you think of a child, what do you think? Think of a child, what do you think? Anyone? Just shout, yeah? A blessing, okay, good. What else? Anyone else? You perceive them running around, okay. So, okay. Generally, I was just trying to look at the culture, how people perceive. I think you've heard this before. Some people in civilization, they will say, "Oh, children are mistakes. Children are problems. Children are hindrances to our plans. Children are burdens." And I always hear this in as I walk past the Chinese. I say, oh, the Chinese are in the hawker center and all that. They'll ask how many children you have. Or they'll see all the children walking. Say, wow, you got so many children. Wow, that means you're very smart. They always say, "你很厉害." It's like, you think you're very smart or what? I said, no. You know, people will have this thinking, oh, you must be able, wow, I have one or so, I have problem already. Now you have four, that kind of thing. Okay? And these are the perception. Perception is how a person thinks about children. You know why this is important? How we perceive children, how we see them, will be how we will treat them. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, Proverbs tells us, how we see children will be how we will treat them. Okay? Any questions? How does God view children? Okay, it's a little bit small, but I'm trying to squeeze the whole thing in there. Okay, I like this picture, don't you? You see that? Okay, I'll just read Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. Okay, what we'll do is maybe decide you read verse 13, decide you read verse 14, then I'll read verse 15, then we'll all read verse 16 together. Okay, verse 13 on this side, ready? 1, 2, go. Verse 14.
When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God."
Verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Altogether, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Okay? So what happened in the situation? In a quiet time, what happened? There were some people who brought young children to him. Young children, in the Greek, means infants. Young children means infants. Of course, we can also extrapolate that. We can also say that, or just generally bring children. But in the Bible condition, that time when the people were bringing, they were actually bringing their infants to Jesus. Okay? Alright? But what did the disciples do? What did the disciples do? The disciples rebuked them. What do you think the disciples rebuked them? What do you think the disciples would scold these parents trying to bring their children to Jesus?
Their nuisance?
Okay. Isn't it true that sometimes even not in our families perhaps, but we have seen how in some families children are nuisances even to parents. They would rather just kind of go to your sister lah, or go somewhere else. Okay. Now the disciples actually scolded this people, and generally in all the commentators they believe the disciples had this thinking: Jesus has no time for children. Because in the Jewish culture, the man was first, and children are ladies are considered second class. Okay? Children and ladies are considered second class. Alright? And so when the Jewish disciples who are males saw these ladies bringing their children to Jesus, don't waste our Savior's time, okay? Get lost. What was Jesus' response? He was much displeased. You know what much displeased? The Greek word means he was indignant. He was absolutely furious. He was severely displeased. He was very angry. What does that tell you about the heart of our Savior for children? You know, in the Bible tells us that children have a special place in the heart of God. Okay? And so, he actually told them, the word suffer the little children means to allow them to come, then leave them alone. Leave them alone and let them come to me. Don't stop them. For of such is a very important verse that even as adults we need to understand. Because Jesus said, don't stop these children from coming in, because the characteristics of people who will go into the kingdom of God, you can learn from these children. Of such is the kingdom of God. Does it make sense? And so he says there, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Okay, God do have precious lessons from little children, okay? Then he took them up in his arms, basically took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them. Putting his laying of hands oftentimes in the Bible has the idea of conferring a blessing. The blessing is not from the person, but from God. But when the person prays for the person or lays his hand, the idea of conferring a blessing, okay? And he blessed them, okay? Now, some thoughts from there. How does God view children? Not very cute, right? Number one, he was angry with those who stopped children from coming. Why are you laughing? Okay? Jesus was angry with those who stopped the children from coming. What lessons do we have as a church from that? One of the reasons why we keep our VBS fees low is that so that no one will actually have problems paying, or money shouldn't be a problem, okay, for those who cannot afford it to come to our VBSs. Okay, that's one reason, okay, we keep it down. Alright, he scolded the disciples. He told them to leave them alone to come to him. He used the children to teach us, okay, children. Can this sweet thing teach us something? He said, nah, he cannot teach us something. Jesus said, you better learn from him, otherwise you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's how serious it is. Of course, he's not talking about what he says, but he's talking about what the characteristics of innocence, of faith, of dependence upon God, of trust. Okay? Do you think he'll be very proud? You're so sweet to be proud, right? Okay, how does God view children? Okay, now we're going to look at biblical... How should we view children? I just happened to find this. It's Chinese New Year. Okay. Number one, how should we view children? I say again, how we see our children will be how we will treat them. And it's very important. Because sometimes we can be overwhelmed by the children that we have. And then we see them in a particular perception. And then we treat them accordingly. How many of you have... I've observed parents when I'm in the clinic working with them, how parents will just say, "What is you? STUPID," and scold them and all this kind of thing, and really harsh with them, and we actually have to steady him, you know, come on. And we actually said, "Dad, mom, can you stay outside for a while? All right, while we work with the child." There was one particular situation where the child would not perform when parents are around. So in that situation, we kind of the children will just sit down there, don't do anything. So as a therapist, one of the things we'll think about, okay, how do we get the child to perform? and the thought comes, get rid of the parent. And so not so much get rid of parents, but I say when the child comes, I say, okay, tell you what, let me bring the child in first. Then you come in about 20 minutes later. Is that okay? You generally, the parents are okay because I'm a professional, so he has no choice. All right, so stay outside. And you know what? In the 20 minutes, the children really enjoy themselves until the parent came in again. All right, in other words, they'll do a lot of things. They'll follow you. They'll do all things. When the parents come, it's like, huh? Why? Because sometimes we see children as problems, and we see them as little people that don't have any so-called rights. Okay? But here the Bible says they are blessings from God. Lord, children are a heritage of the Lord. You know, I was studying the context of Psalm 127. You know what it means? Psalm 127 was actually written to a poor man who doesn't have much. Or someone who works very hard. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 127. And I believe it will be a blessing if you consider the context of Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Come on, let me take control. Psalm 127, it starts off. It starts off by saying, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain, they built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know what Solomon is saying? He's saying this. There are some people who wake up very early to get things done. They sleep very late because they want to rush for things. Because why? Life, sometimes, is it not, we rush about to get things done because we believe that it's part and parcel of how we need to survive in this world. And it could be that because we set our sights on things of this world so much that, oh, have you heard the phrase kanchong spider? You know, the spider, shh, you know, we are very kanchong, we are very anxious, we rush and rush and rush, and we wake up early thinking that, oh, we won't have enough time if we don't. That's how I feel sometimes. Sometimes I wake up early in the morning and sleep there, but I've just got so many things to do. But there are some people who rush to get things done. Why? Because they feel that they have to keep on doing to sustain themselves. That's where, in Psalm 127, Solomon has to stop them and say, look, you can rush from morning to night, you can wake up early, and you can sleep late, but except the Lord build a house, you labor in vain. And so these people say, wow, that means you want me to learn to trust God? About our children to feed them. And that's where verse 3 comes in. Whereby the psalmist actually had to remind these people, because sometimes when we rush around, we don't have much. And then when we look at our children and we say, I've got to feed him. I've got to clothe him. I've got to pay for his education. But you know what Solomon wants us to think in verse 3? Children are God's gifts to you. Okay, children are God's gifts to you. And some people may say, you must be kidding. Because of him, I've got to work like crazy, you know. And that's generally it. And I do not doubt that children do require a lot of support. They do. Some eat more than they should. Some play more than they should. Some shouldn't be destroying things, but they do. And so mom had to say, yeah, you want to spoil it again, I got to buy another one. And so there's a frustration that goes on. But you know what? We need to stop and say, the Bible teaches, this is how we need to see children. They are actually, the word heritage means they are the inheritance that God gives to you. Inheritance. They are actually gifts from God. And I was reading consistently in all the commentators, you know what they say? If God gives, God will provide. Amen? If God gives, God will provide. And what a blessing it is. Because, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Okay? Alright, I know there may be other situations. You may say, well, Brother Johnny, you know, in this situation, can it still be a reward? How many of you will not melt when you see a child like this? last time in work, you know, I think many of us, for those, at least for those who have children, or maybe you even see children, and sometimes all you need is Chai Hing may come back. Shouldn't say so loud, wait, they call Papa again. You may have a long day, but all you need is a child's smile at your face. Papa, it's like, you forget everything already, right? You carry the child and just enjoy. Why? Just a fruit. It's a reward, okay? Number one, they are blessings from God. Number two, every child is unique and a special creation of God. In Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Interesting, I got this picture. This one, the tag here is from God. Okay, which is interesting. I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the psalmist David said. Even if the child is physically or mentally deformed, God still made them for a purpose. Is it cold for you? You're getting cold, right? Okay. So every child is a unique and special creation of God. Every single child. Children, are you listening? Every one of you. Every one of you is special in the sight of God. Okay? You know, that includes everyone. Parents are also special creation because we were a child once. Okay? But you know, every one of us are special in the sight of God. And unique. There are no two Josephs in this world. There are no two Esther Joy. There's only one Esther Joy. Okay, there's only one. There's only one angel. There's only one Titus. There's only one. Limited edition. Only one. Okay? Priceless. No price can pay for it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Next one. How should you, children? God has a plan for them. God has a plan for them. And parents, we will be wise to take note. Because for every child in your family, God has a purpose. He's going to shoot that arrow. If you read Psalm 127. Okay? Talking about a quiver of arrows. Okay? And a man will have a quiver full so that whenever he needs, he'll just grab one and that arrow will be useful in whatever service he needs it to go. God has a plan. The Bible says, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out from the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God spoke to me through this verse. Say, Johnny, before you were born, I already had a plan for you. And I thank God I'm living God's plan now. Okay? And parents, your children need to be living God's plan too. And that's why you need to pray day and night, Lord, give me wisdom to find out what you want my child to do. But you know what, parents? It's very hard for you to understand how to find God's will for your children if you don't know God's will for yourself. I'm going to be touching on that later on, okay? It's a special... Next one, how should we view children? God has a plan not only for the children, this one is for us as parents. I say, what? I thought you talk about a child, bring up children, right? No. Not only that, not only does God give us children so that we can help them find God's plan, God gives us children because God has a plan for us to deal with us. Because sometimes God may just give you a little runny Jimmy into your house, you know, put a running Jimmy into your house, and God tests your patience. Or maybe this Natalie or this what is this big name? Sorry, just Sue, okay, or Anne or Susan cannot write properly. We'll just some of you know I actually work part time in consultancy, and me and this OT was actually observing this session. And I was reading a little bit. I was told the case history. It's very sad. This child was normal. Everything was normal. Eyesight, everything was normal. Until 4 years old, he contracted encephalitis, infection of the spinal cord. And she became blind, she became deaf, and she could only sit down and do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And if you look, maybe you look at this child, and you say, the child doesn't have a future. When men look at this kind of children, they always say no future. But when God looks at it, God can do many things with whoever. Okay, I can tell you there's a plan for that child. That plan is to make sure I suss out this what is the whole school doing to help this child? That's my job, right? To find out what's wrong. Okay, but anyway, the Bible says, no, we know that all things work together, even the children that come into our families. All things work together for good to them that love God. Parents, listen to this. I believe with all my heart. Many times God gives us the children so that God can change us. Brother Johnny, I don't have a family of my own. But you know what? God puts you in touch with nephews. God puts you in touch with your nieces. God puts you in touch with maybe in Sunday school. You know what? God is using those children to change you. I believe with all my heart. Because if you cannot tolerate a child, you have big problems with God in terms of character. Does that make sense? Okay? God has a plan for us. How should we view children? They need to be trained. Can I emphasize that? They need to be trained. Children need to be trained. Children need to be trained to wake up early. Children need to be trained to throw their clothing in the proper basket. Children need to be Children need to be trained to write neatly. Children need to be trained to obey their parents. Amen, parents? Children need to be trained because the Bible never say teach them. The Bible says train them in the way they should go. Huh? Some children really need to be trained. Amen? But can I say this? Some children really need to be trained because they don't know how. Parents, just because a child cannot do something doesn't mean he doesn't want to all the time. It may be because, really, I don't know. And I have seen poor children get whacked by their parents so hard. But then in my mind, because I'm a therapist, the child cannot do. It's like asking a 4-year-old to carry a 10-kilogram sack of rice, and you are spanking the person because he can't get it. Dad, maybe if you give him 500 grams to start off with, or maybe you try 2 oranges and have him to carry first. Why are you giving 10 kilos to start with and you whack him? When the child can't, the child can't. And as parents, we need to balance our expectations. And sometimes, many times, in terms of mental development, some children are slower. Can I say this? Children do not operate by fear. Sorry, they operate by fear, but they don't learn by fear. Children cannot learn by fear. I tell you why. Do you learn when you are fearful? Our children say no. So our children, listen, if parents don't force you, that means everything is nice. That means you can learn better, right? Sure? Sure?
Papa? Papa?
Okay. No, she was just looking at her too. So it's important for us to understand, children don't operate, they operate by fear. What does fear do? What does fear do to us? When fear comes, all we do is protect ourselves. If you are fearful of the consequences. So I will force myself to do something just to get out a picture. But you know what? After that, when I leave the situation, I will not learn anything. Okay? So we need to be careful. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. There's a research that I was just reading through in terms of spiritual development. Many times when we train up a child, some children don't actually follow through. Now that is a sad thing. Okay, that means that, but Brother Johnny, I've been teaching my children this, but why are they not? This is a big question for some parents who say, I've been trying to do what is right. But why is my children not following the way I'm telling them? After I'll talk about that, you need to be very vigilant. And I believe hopefully in Ambassador Baptist Church, every one of your children will stay in the faith. But do you realize even this verse, it's no guarantee. Now I'll explain why afterwards, okay? How should we view our children? They are sinners bound for hell. They are on their way to hell. If a child gets past a certain age and they can understand things, they are bound for the lake of fire. If they do not come to a place of salvation in Christ. And that is a very important thing I want to emphasize. Okay, because later on we'll talk about your number one priority as a parent in training. Okay, because the Bible says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, did my mother conceive me. Okay, any questions up to there? The 6 points how we should view our children. Five of them very positive, very encouraging, and God, you see, if there was no sin, life would have been great because these children would just bring a lot of joy in our hearts. But because of this sin, many children, over time as they grow up, can become heartaches. Or they may be very cute at 2, but when they are 20, and they are not learning those skills they're supposed to learn, they become a heartache. Even for so-called Christians, you know, Christian families are not spared. Are not spared. I was in a church whereby the pastor's daughters eloped. You know what's eloped? Okay, eloped. Okay, we're not spared. We are not spared. And that's why parents, we're going to look at the biblical areas, what we need to do. Okay? Now, any question now? We're going to the biblical approach now. We're going to just be talking about five principles. But before there, any questions? Okay, before we go in, what are some areas we need to focus on in training our children? Some areas that maybe you think as parents are important to you. Maybe on this side, or maybe anyone, maybe a Sunday school teacher, or what do you think you need to train children in? This side? Anyone? Okay, train them to love God. Okay, good. What else? What else? Anything else? Anyone? Or this side? What are some areas that you need to train your children in? Okay, obey. This is very specific. I'm actually looking a little bit more general. Okay, maybe I'm a therapist. But generally, what a lot of people focus on is what we call the domains. Okay, the areas of growth. When a child is growing, they will grow in movement. They must. But some parents put a lot of effort in sending their children to gym classes so that their physical development are very good. Okay, in Singapore, what's the primary concern? Mind champs. Huh? Mind stretcher. I laugh at those terms. Parents who don't have a clue they are stretching my child's mind. You realize there's no such thing? You can only train the mind. Whether the mind wants to stretch or not, it depends on the child, not depends on us. Yes, parents, you can give the child 20 assignments. If it doesn't want to stretch, you're in big trouble. Okay? And so there are mind champs, mind stretchers, what else do I have? Mind gym or whatever, and they have mind gym. Right? They just get the child to. They have Kumon. They have what the shish. Shikada. You know Shikada. You know Shikada. Shikada is a big insect you find in Brunei. But anyway, so there's a lot of this, and many of them, I believe, they do try their best, okay, to help children. All right. But you know what? And then, of course, there's also social training. We want our children to be polite and be able to say thank you when supposed to. And some of them, so there are different areas of training. Or some have aesthetic training or piano and all that. Nothing wrong with that, you know. But you know one area that the world doesn't cater for? What's that? Spiritual training. There is zero spiritual training of children. Sadly, sometimes even in churches. Oh yeah, they have the VBS and the Sunday school and all that. Can I say this as a church? And I'd like to encourage this, I believe it's a biblical culture, whereby everyone, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, whether you're older in the faith or younger, we all, when we see a child, help the parents within the church to say the right thing, to help the child understand that when they go to church, not so much to make them hypocrites, okay? And that's one thing we need to be very careful. We don't want children to come and it happens all the time. Oh, pastor, come, I better behave. Pastor, no, no, right, do what? Okay. Can I say this, Whether pastor or around, that doesn't matter. If children, if you only behave when pastor is around, you know what? God will judge me for training you to be a hypocrite. Because you only act. You grow up as actors. Okay, children, please. Be yourself. Which means I can school you when you're not doing the right thing. But you know what? Be yourself. Very, very important, okay? And parents, don't be so strict with your children that when you come in, they start doing, they kind of change their behavior. I think you know what I mean, right? Parents come in, they change behavior. Parents not around, they come in, what happened to my room? you know. And everything is in a mess. When you call them, they say, I didn't do it, I didn't know. I only touched that handkerchief. Yeah, sure. You know? I think you understand what I'm saying. You know what? As we bring up children, we must be very careful that we need to minister to them with grace, but firmness. And I believe with all my heart. That's why my children are totally exposed to whoever, and they may have done wrong things as well. I will just have to deal with them. There's nothing to hide. My children are told, you don't have to act as a pastor's kid. You just be yourself. Or yes, there's certain behaviors in church that would be honoring to God. You don't come to church anyhow, run, and it's just worshipful to God. But you know what? They are just, they are who they are. And I don't try to hide them. Because otherwise I'll be training them to be hypocrites. And I hope that will be an example for us as parents. I don't judge any parents. And whether the child is difficulties or not, is for yourself. We can help. Remember, the church is supposed to work with the families. Okay, our goal is to make sure that everyone grow in Christ, including the children. And they would understand that mom and dad is going to church because mom and dad wants me to grow. And mom and dad is growing too. And I see another auntie and uncle from another family, they're also trying to help. And everyone is cooperating. Can you see? If everyone cooperates, our children will grow up healthy in the church. All right? And I just have to say this. Children do make mistakes, right? And sometimes children do get our nerves, right? Okay? Please, if children fight with children, let the children fight. We adults don't fight. Understand? Because it's a sad thing that because of children's little things, that adults fight too. Okay? And you know what? That's what the devil likes. And you know what happens to children after, when say, after the children fight, and then the adults start fighting, the children goes off and play Lego. And wonder what happened to the parents. Hey, why like that to the parents? We need to be very careful, okay? The devil can do a lot of things through this. Okay, I just want to actually highlight these areas of training. In Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, the spiritual domain, the area of the spiritual life, is the most important one in the life of your child. Parents, if you do not put a lot of emphasis there, that's exactly where Satan wants you to do. Exactly. You know why? Because if your children don't know Christ, he's happy. He has one less enemy. But when your children begin to do what is right, and that's where he begins to put a lot of pressure on you. And that's why as a church, we need to support one another. Okay? So, and the soul is important. And then in Proverbs 4:23, we need to be keeping our heart with all diligence. Because, you know, it's not so much, we'll be talking about that more next week. But I just want to say this. When it comes to trying to correct a child's behavior, you don't just change the child's behavior. You need to ask, why is he behaving like that? Because it is the heart that you have to deal with, not just the issues. Okay, let me explain. This verse says, keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful to make sure the heart is growing properly. Why? Because from the heart come out the issues of life. The word issues there doesn't mean problems. Huh? The word issues is kind of like, you know, your magazine, first issue, second issue, third issue. You know, in your magazine, you have like volume one, issue number two. Does it make sense? So which means that from your heart, all the things will start coming out related to the character of the child, related to what the child feels. For example, if all the child loves is Thomas the Tank Engine, let's say, you will find that his whole room will be, even the bed will be the train. Huh? Have you seen that before? I've seen one room, everything is Snoopy. Every single thing. Drawer, alarm clock, everything is Snoopy. Even toothbrush is also Snoopy, I think so. I don't know. Everything is... Why? Because then you know, okay, this person loves Snoopy. Why? Because from the heart, Snoopy comes out. The issues come out. Does it make sense? And so when our child starts misbehaving, when our child starts to be unforgiving, when our child starts to steal, when our child starts to say words they shouldn't be saying, when our child starts to go against parents, you know what's happening? It's not just a behavior. If we just say, I need to do something. You know, olden days, when the children say bad words, what do parents do? What do you do? Either smack, what else? Put chili? Huh? And what else? Put chili, whatever, right? Right? Just to stop the child. You know what you're doing? You're managing this behavior, and sometimes it fizzles off. But you know what? If the heart is still there, you will just grow somewhere else. Does it make sense? It's not in these slides, but I say this. Parents, I did this talk 2 years ago in Biblical Parenting. If you change behavior without changing your child's heart, which you cannot, you need God's help. But if you target at just changing your child's behavior without actually thinking, Lord, what is happening with this child? Maybe he's covetous, maybe he doesn't like this, maybe he's fearful or whatever. If you just deal with behavior, don't deal with the heart, and the child actually changes, you know what happens? We have actually trained our children to be a hypocrite. Because they will then know how to behave when people are around. Because the heart is still there. Okay? So, the spiritual domain is very important. Okay, the next one. Okay, the biblical approach to child training. Number one, the Bible must be the authority. Must be. Not Dr. Spock, not child psychology, not all this. It must be the Bible. Because you read this verse, and ye fathers, irritate or provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, when you read this verse, you realize there's only a few verses, less than 5 verses in the New Testament about child rearing. Do you realize that? Less than 5 verses in the New Testament about bringing up children. One of them is here. But whenever the verse comes out, Paul actually zooms in into one area of training, spiritual training for the child. And it has to be the nurture. Nurture means the upbringing, the bringing out. And the admonition means the discipline. Of whose discipline? From where? From the Bible. From what God says. Okay? Which means, if we discipline our children according to worldly philosophies, we are not doing what God says. Which means that the children that will bring up will not be spiritually minded children. Okay? And that's very important for us to take note of. Okay? So number one, the Bible has to be the authority. Number two, parents must be prepared. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. Okay? Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 is a very popular passage on child training. But it's interesting. This has good principles that's also repeated in the New Testament. Okay? I'll try to move on a little bit faster, okay? But the biblical approach to children, point number two, parents must be prepared, okay? I'll read from verse 1. Moses is talking to the children of Israel. Now, these are the commandments, verse 1, Deuteronomy 6. Commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son. What does he say? Father, your son, and your grandchildren. Okay, so it goes all the way to the grandchildren. All the days of thy life, and thy days may be prolonged. Okay, verse 3, here therefore Israel observe to do, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Okay, number one, parents must be prepared. Parents must understand that it is our responsibility to bring our children. That's a biblical approach. The world will say, can I say this, it's not the child care? It's not the child, it's not the maid. It's not your sons and your daughters, it is parents. Because God gave the instruction specifically to the fathers, and of course, supporting that is the mothers, parents. I know there are maybe a lot of practical implications in today's society, but we have to, if we want to take a biblical approach, parents, we must hold their responsibility tightly. That even if you may have to do certain things outside, say, Lord, that is still my priority, my children. Does it make sense? we must understand there's a responsibility. Number two, there's a blessing, alright? That's in verse number 3, not 2. Okay? So, verse number 2, the last part, that thy days of thy life may be prolonged. Okay? Just very quickly, I just want to follow the trend. The next one. Parents must be prepared. You need to make the Lord God of Israel your Savior, the head of your house. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." In this verse, I was reading and thinking about this verse. When Moses gave this, when God gave this to Moses to give it to the children of Israel, essentially he is telling the households, "Listen, Israel." This is called the Shema, or in American called Shema or Shema. All right, Shema means to hear. It is something the entire nation of Israel has to hear. And what are they to hear? The Lord thy God is one Lord. There is only, basically what God is telling Moses, there is only one God in this world. There is only one God in this world. Okay? And that is the God that you must make head of your house. God must be head of the house. Okay? And that's very important. Let me just refer. It might be enough. God is to be head of our house. But so some people may say, "But Brother Johnny, you know, us a Christian family." This verse teaches also there are to be no other gods. You say, "Well, I'm a Christian family, so..." Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to be a Christian family? What does it mean to be a Christian family? What does it mean to be a Christian family? I give you this scenario. If the Lord Jesus Christ packs up his bag from heaven, with all due respect to him and reverence, and says, "Joshua, I'm going to stay with you for 1 week. I will stay with you, whatever you want to give me a room or whatever, I'm just be staying with you and your family for 1 week." Now, what do you mean yes? The question is, will there be certain hobbies that for that week I cannot do? Will there be certain internet websites that for that week I better don't go to? Would there be certain words that I speak that week that I shouldn't be doing because Jesus is around? Or when after the Lord Jesus wakes up, brushes his teeth, comes in, the television program that I watch, I need to make sure, turn on TV, only the news. You know what? Do we have to do that? Do we have to do that? Because can I say this? The Lord Jesus stays with our family 24/7. He's a silent listener to every conversation. He's an unseen guest at every meal. He knows when the family quarrels. He knows when the family is watching things they're not supposed to watch. He knows when rock music is in the family. Why? Because he's there. Are we a Christian family? If Jesus is head, then let's really make him head. Let's really put him there. I can tell you this because children senses hypocrisy very quickly. Because you know why? They are innocent. So whatever they see goes in straight. And when they grow to a certain age, they say, "Why is daddy doing that? Or why is mommy doing that?" When there is hypocrisy in the family, many of our children's faith becomes destroyed. And that's why we need to make Christ head. It could be that we need to get rid of some stuff in our homes. We need to delete some programs from our computers. It could be we need to remove some songs from our iPod. It could be even that we may need to stop some of our friends from... We care for everyone. But you know what? If our children see what we are doing, would we pass the test as a Christian family? Okay? We need to make the Lord God of Israel, the Savior, Head of House, and then our parents, you need to be prepared to love God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. After he says, "Hear the Lord, our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind." Parents, to prepare for child training, it is absolutely imperative. In other words, it is an absolute command from God. You are to love God with all your heart. The heart is the seat of the spirit. In other words, from the innermost being from you. Now, this is not just for parents, for anyone who works with children or protects children or has some relationship with children. Your heart, the absolute seat, has the innermost being of you, have to be in love with God. You have to love God actively from the innermost being. There is nothing else or no one else that will ever take that place. God has to be number one, or else He is off the throne, okay? And so God says this, and all your soul has to do with the intellect, your thinking, your emotions, and how you would make decisions. That even in the center of your decisions, God, is this what you're telling me to do? You're always putting God first. Whether it's a job, whether it's a career, whether it's a whatever that you do, you say, "God, my decisions, my intellect is yours. I will love you with it." And then we'll love you all my might. The word might has to do with physical. God, I will love you with everything I've got. If I need to serve you, I will do all I can. If you want me to walk 20 kilometers to get to reach someone, I'll do that. With all my strength, Lord, even if I will do, like the youth, clean the door, Lord, I'll do it with all my heart. Okay? I'll make sure there is the cleanest. If I have to wipe every chair, Lord, I'll do it. I'll use my energy and everything I have. Because I'm loving God. Okay? I'm loving God. Parents, we need to love God like that. That's what Deuteronomy 6 tells us. Okay? I like this one. The parents must be prepared. Because in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, the next one is, after you love God with everything you've got, and the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Because we cannot teach our children something that we don't have. And can I say this? The most effective teaching tool for a child is not written black and white. It is when in your life the Word of God comes through clearly in your actions and you say, "The reason why Papa wants you to do this is because," straight away the Word of God comes out and says, "Oh, the Word of God is part and parcel of Papa or Mama." That is the most powerful way. Because, let's put it this way, I hope it's a challenge for us, because I heard one time, one actress, one very, Pamela Anderson, I think some of you know, I quote her, I just quote her just to make a point. Okay? I just make a point because she's a Sunday school teacher. For those who know that actress, the kind of movie she's in, she's a Sunday school teacher. I'm not judging her, but our children can't learn biblical morals from someone who doesn't have that kind of morals. I'm not saying us, but when if you look at Deuteronomy 6, when I read this, it really, for me, the challenge is, you know, parents, we really need to get into the Word of God. But Brother Johnny, you know, I've been reading God's Word. I'm thankful. I've heard, and I'm greatly encouraged. Some youth have put upon themselves to make sure they read the Bible through in 1 year. And that's excellent, okay? I don't want to name the names, but I'm very encouraged. You know, youth, if you grow up with the desire to read God's Word every morning, I praise God for that. We are growing up as next generation who love the Word of God. But you know what? How do I get the word from black and white to here? You know what you need to do? The Bible tells us we need to meditate therein day and night. We need to be talking about it. In other words, from now on in youth group, don't talk about the latest technological gadgets. Talk about what you read. Because the more you read, the more you think, the more you read, it gets in. And then you put it into practice. You put it into practice. Okay? Alright? Next one. Hey, what? Just hang there. Deborah, any questions up there? Okay, I like this one. Okay, do you like this one? Okay, the Bible is out here, but Bible needs to go in. Okay, I'm glad he's smiling because it's going in, I think. Okay, you know why the Bible must be here? Because the Bible says, for of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Your language that comes out from your speech reflect the type of heart you have. And there's only one way to clean up that heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. Unless God's word is here, the mouth. That's why sometimes maybe our children say things they shouldn't be saying. And sometimes we do things we shouldn't be doing. Okay, just very quickly, let's move on. The child must be taught and trained, okay? Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. The child must be taught direction in life. The child must be taught that your number one priority is to glorify God, not to get that job. Not to make sure you go to the top schools. The number one priority is to get the child to a place that they will realize there is a God they have to be accountable to one day. Okay? And how do we train the children? In Deuteronomy 6 verse 10, we'll do it more practically next week. It must be systematically. Because if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says, in verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlet between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Basically, how are you supposed to write the word of God already in your hearts on the gates? You know what he's saying? Every day, the child needs to see the word of God in action. Okay? There must be a systematic teaching of God's word. It must be daily, and it must be practical. The children must be able to see God's word in action. Parents, fathers, when you pray, when you want to make a decision in the family, you must bring up Bible verses that govern your principle, so that every time your little child, little daughter, or son is listening to you, they will say, oh, Baba is making that decision because God is pushing him in a certain direction, and I can follow that. But unfortunately, many times as parents, sometimes we make decisions not based on God's word. And children just think, oh, just basically, I'm the standard for decision making. No. Okay? So, the children need to be able to see that. Next one. The goal of child training is twofold, okay? I'll just quickly go through that. The child might know Christ, okay, as the Savior. Sorry, there's some typo there. The child might know Christ as the Savior. And number two, the child might live for the glory of God in this life. These are the twofold goals of Bible training. If that is not your goal, you've missed God's point. For those who will be married next time, your goal in life for your children is to bring them up so that you will see them in heaven. Because what does it profit a man? You gain the whole world and you lose his own soul. Okay? Parents, your number one priority, I say again, your number one priority is to win your children to Christ so that they will be willingly serving the Lord in his own life the next time, okay, when he grows up. This is very hard in Singapore because the focus is on education. Meritocratic society. I think it's important, education. But if your child becomes a PhD and dies and go to hell, what will the PhD do for him? And that's a serious thought. Parents, please. The disciplinary approach is a rod according to the Bible. We will talk about it next week. I was going through the internet. A lot of people disagree with the fact that the rod is punishment. And if you are of the so-called modern era, you will find that you will be, well, no, I don't think we should use the rod anymore. But you know what? The rod is still in the Bible. And that's what they've been teaching for hundreds of years until this generation. We should tell you something about where the thinking is from. Okay? Alright, these are the verses that I'll just give you one verse, this one. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, mothers, are you paying attention? The child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame, because father just will chop after that. Things like that one don't care. But you know what? Mom will continue to love, but mom's heart will be broken. Why? Because the child is not behaving the way he's supposed to behave. Okay? And last one. Okay. And this is the last one that I want to highlight. I'll just read the verse first. Proverbs 19:27. This instruction King Solomon gave to the son. Stop. Cease. Don't go any further. Stop, my son, to hear the instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. What Solomon is telling his son is, don't you listen to anything that teach you contrary to what you know is right. Last one, do all you can to control the influences that will affect your child. Includes music, includes what you see on television, includes what you allow them to read, include the use of handphones. I just bring out here, how many of you read DL, Digital Life? Remember they did some of you may have read, they did a research on 3,000 to 6,000 young girls, and they said in these 6,000 girls they researched, those 6,000 girls were involved in Twitter, Facebook and MySpace are highly likely to experience social skills problems when they grow up. I wonder why. You know why? Because when you do this to someone else, oftentimes there's that barrier, you don't have to respond immediately socially. Okay? When you do this, because you're protected. That's why a lot of people will pray on other people over the internet. Because I don't have to be accountable for my words. Oh yeah? Later when the police comes. But you know what? Children who get a lot of exposure on this will gradually shrink back on their social skills. Why? Simply because they don't practice it anymore. Okay? It's not just that, but you know, anything and everything that will affect your child, we need to do something about. We live in a world today that many Christians don't see as important to switch off that television when the violent movie comes on. We live in a world today that even as Christians, parents, sometimes when there's rock music, American Idol on TV, we just let our children just dance in front of it. You know what you're doing? You're actually bringing up your child in the flesh. I say that with all of my heart. And you know who will have the heartache next time? As pastor, I may help you, but you know what? The heartbreak will be in that family. Because I can counsel and can walk off with tears in my heart. But you know what? As parents, you will have to deal with that family. And when your child or daughter gets into trouble, you are allowing the influencers to come in. I always thought to myself, in 1980s, we have Commando and Superman all on the television, all on the cinemas. But you know what they've done? They brought all of the movies into the home. On demand some more. YouTube, anything is available, I think. We need to be very careful as we close. Any questions? Control. That's why it's a church. Some of you may think I'm old-fashioned. But if I sense that there is even a potential for sin in the church, I'll stop it. I'll tell you that right now. So sometimes we need as pastor to make decisions. For example, what's that? VeggieTales will never come into our children's ministry. VeggieTales, full of rock music and jazz. It will never come into our children's ministry. Okay? Things like this, we need to be very careful. Parents, the type of music you listen to, especially music. Okay? We may go through that, how to deal with that. Anything that affects spiritual problems or may have the potential to cause spiritual problems, I'll be the first to highlight, and I hope you understand why. Because our children's souls are at stake, and so are yours. And so are the people that will be coming in. Okay? As we close, we've done all this. Okay? And next week, we'll look at the spiritual development of children and what we need to do to help them. Okay, and practical approaches. Let's close with Deuteronomy 32. Okay, let's turn there. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And verse 46 and 47. I read it last week, and I hope as parents we will memorize it if it's possible. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46 and 47. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. One of these days your children are going to go into the future. They are Jordan. Are they going to mingle with the people and intermarry? And then go away from God? Are they going to be like Joshua who says, as for me and my house, we will serve God? And can I challenge you? My dedication as pastor is to, by God's grace, present and pastor a pure church to God. And I hope through the teaching, I cannot force anyone to do anything, but I will say this. Follow the teachings of the Bible with all of your heart. And you will find God will not fail you, and God will protect your family as well. Alright, any questions? Any questions? Well, let's have a word of prayer, right, as we close. Lord, thank you for this time, and I know I've gone a bit more, but Lord, I pray that whatever that has been spoken today, Lord, you will make it, you will impress it through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Lord, I pray for the children who have listened. I pray, Lord, even I thank you that none of them will fall asleep except one. But yet, Lord, I pray that the Word of God will just sink deep into their lives. That God, when they grow up, they will recognize mom and dad as the authority. And when they learn to obey mom and dad, Lord, they are learning to obey you. And God, when they just obey mom and dad, Lord, the house will be peaceful and dad and mom will lead the family in the way that God wants them to lead. I pray for every teenager as they grow up, Father. I pray, Lord, that for everyone who is reading the Bible, God, I pray that you will help them to continue to do so. God, that the Word of God will just fill them, that the Word of Christ will dwell richly in them, that they will be able to grow. And that God, when they are old, when they face the trials and temptations, the Word of God will come back as the firm foundation upon which they are building their lives, that God, they will be able to stand when there's trouble, and the winds may come, the floods may rise, and the winds may blow. God, they will be able to stand strong in the storms of life. I pray for every young adult as they face the challenges, Lord, of growing up, of meeting people, and having a career, and trying to live the Christian life at the same time. Father, I pray that through thy word, Lord, they will still find that comfort and that strength to be firm, Lord, firmly entrenched in what they believe. For Lord, the time has come when many people will no longer endure sound doctrine. But God, that we will continue in the things which we have learned, and those things which we have heard. Lord, I pray for every mom and every dad. God, I pray for a new resolve in their hearts that God, they will follow God because that's the right thing to do. Whatever God says, I will follow. And that when the word of God is preached, Lord, I will allow it to go into the deeper most parts of my life that someone else, Lord, might be blessed. That my children may grow up in the fear of God. I pray for Ambassador as a whole. Lord, with your help, by your grace, God, may we be pure and holy unto you in doctrine, in practice, in thought, in heart, in holiness. Lord, even in our love, may we be able to, not like the church of Ephesus, Lord, just focus on holiness and not love. But Lord, help us not to be like the other churches who focus on love and not holiness. God, may we be balanced. May we have a heart as a church that will be in submission totally to you, that we might live our lives for your honor and glory, and we might bring up children, Lord, to live a life that will honor you as well. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I don't know how in 5 to 10 to 20 years from now how Ambassador will be, but I know as long as you are leading us, and as long as we are following you closely, Lord, we will not be very far off. Help us to have a heart of obedience towards you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. And even right now, as we prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper, Lord, I pray that this will be in our hearts. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.